Hi, I'm Molly Parker. I play Alma Garrett.
And I'm Anna Gunn, and I play Martha Bullock.
And here we are.
Here we are.
There's a really good shot of Anna coming up. Oh. Do you know the one I'm talking about, Anna?
No, but I know there's a really good shot of you coming up.
Let's see if we can find it.
Ah, yes. Oh. Horse.
Oh, yeah. The horse becomes sort of significant later. In Martha's life.
There you are.
Yes.
Oh, there I am. God. Oh, that's very flattering.
It's a very nicely lit shot of you. So this is the first episode of the second season, and there's sort of this, some time has passed. It's supposed to be about 7 months or 8 months have gone by since the end of the first season. It's sort of the next summer.
And this is a packed morning that's about to occur.
Yeah.
It's not a slow morning in Deadwood. Fraser Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we shoot everything in a studio, sort of a lot up in Santa Clarita, but once or twice a year we go up to Fraser Park. It's like a few hours north of LA to shoot exterior stuff.
Oh, stop staring at the glass.
I was thinking, because I watched this again the other day, I haven't seen it since last year, and it sort of was... You know, that this season starts with these women. I feel like this second season,
good morning, Mr. Bullock.
The women's, there's more women come to the town. You come and,
good morning.
And Janie's Paulson. Friend Maddie and Sarah Paulson, mm-hmm. who plays the governess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and explores a bit more of their story.
Hills get divided into three counties. Each county has a commissioner.
We should probably talk about something.
We should talk about something, yeah.
When the fuck does that happen?
Already did.
And now the governmental talks begin.
Yeah, sort of feeling of the outside coming in on this town. I mean, I think the first year was very much festering violence and beginnings of this town, mm-hmm. and suddenly,
no one from the fucking hills, huh?
Suddenly there are people from the east coming, yes, and right. You're showing up.
Just travel to one destination, murdered the three.
Telegraph.
Telegraph poles are being put up, and
it's becoming a real town. I love the scene with Kim.
Don't tell me, Lala.
She's great.
She's funny.
Friend and her girls? I don't know. It's way up in the hills.
Yeah, it was this season was such a pleasure because the women got...
Okay.
I mean, some voice, you know, and you sort of...
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
This, like, childlike...
I know, so excited.
Anticipation for her, like, Christmas morning.
Have been acted on.
And then there's this guy.
You'll note...
Yeah, this guy.
Partial payment to
yes.
Questioning a possible duplication.
And this is so lovely because
before the bill
two were talking business.
Mm-hmm.
Really just...
Is that my worth?
That's the amount on deposit.
I remember we shot this scene and...
Considerably more.
And mm-hmm. David was like, you know, I think that every time these people get together, they think, this is the absolutely, we're not, we're not going to have sex this time. We are just going to do business. And every time they start out trying, and she's up and she's down. Yeah, it's all over. And there is sort of this feeling, although it's not, I don't know that it's really, really clear, but this idea that
wrote you a letter.
This relationship between them had become like sort of consumptive, sort of.
Mm. I knew first.
In that Alma's an addict and had quit doing laudanum. Yeah, this sort of like overwhelmingly obsessive thing for both of them, which Swearengen complains about because Bullock is not doing his duties in the camp, yes, and Alma is not spending her money in the camp, right, and all they do is, you know,
is what
get it on.
What, yeah. What's, yes, what you'll see next.
It has fallen to this.
This, I love that. I love about this is that this, the scene, these guys, it's like David has created in this little, in this society, in this town, little pocket families.
Right.
That are not necessarily blood families.
Right.
You know, Richardson and Farnham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they have the same dynamics of any blood family.
Right, no, it's true, isn't it?
That it is.
And sort of I realized yesterday, because I worked yesterday, we're shooting the third season now, that there's loads of actors I've never done a scene with on this show. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've never worked with Shawn Bridges.
Yeah.
And, I've done one scene with Swearengen, and you sort of, with
as her claims, trustee.
Ian.
Yeah.
It's all the cleverness on that subject.
It's such a big cast. You can, you know. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. No, really.
Sorry.
You were having much more fun this morning than I was.
Well.
I was bouncing along in a stagecoach. Oh.
It's the way that David writes, you often don't know what other people are doing as you're shooting your scenes. And I had no idea that
the plaster was falling off.
That the plaster was falling off the ceiling and everybody in the whole building can hear us. You know, feel slightly more self-conscious if you thought that were the case.
But that's great, because they wouldn't know.
No.
They wouldn't know.
No. Ah.
Anyways, I could use a bath.
I urge you, Mr. Swearengen, not to take as injury to your interest my appointing only men from Yankton. For not being of the region, such men serving as commissioners I hold...
Yeah, see, this is putting me in a very foul mood.
Like, yeah.
...who actually pursue their destinies in the hills.
Watching this the other day, too, it occurred to me just how much... Swearengen drinks in this episode. I mean, he drinks like an entire bottle of whiskey this morning. And it's really, it just, because everyone sort of drinks, or the drinkers on the show drink so much all the time. And you have to remember that this booze was much stronger. I mean, it's probably more than 40%. His rendition of an alcoholic is really great, you know, and he gets himself to this point where by the time he sees Bullock walking down the thoroughfare in the next few minutes, he's so fucking angry that he makes these moves that just sort of wreck his whole day and can't help himself.
He can't help himself. He gets ahead of himself and then he realizes it and goes, oh, shit, what have I done? Yep,
I mean, look, it's a...
And even Adams is thinking, huh.
Yeah, that's like quite a lot.
Fair belt.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow, really.
You know, I had to fight really hard with every man on the set to get on top in this scene. I was like, I think she should be on top when we cut back. And people were like, I mean, the men were like, oh, no, I don't know about that. I think she should be on, you know.
Well, like the heathens, you smoke
cigarettes. And David, bless his heart, said, well, that would really indicate a lot of trust on Bullock's part to let her on top.
Just a slower version of the same idea.
When's the last time you got a fucking letter from a stranger?
Bad news about Paul.
Bad news. Tries
I felt like
our
for Alma, there was, I mean, it's the first time in her life she's ever
been liberated
in it. Physically, like, been able to, I mean, she's a Victorian woman where that was just, even in your marriage, that's just not allowed. Right. And somehow these two have found this place where that is allowed, this intimacy between them. And just what a relief.
Yeah.
This actually...
Are you somewhere?
David had this idea that there's a painting by Goya that...
Oh, yes. The one that's up in the, in the Bella Union.
A replica of it in the Bella Union, and he wanted that somehow. So that's partly why I'm lying like that.
I wondered. Something. I thought that looked like a painting, and I was looking at before, and I thought that this shot is the most artfully composed shot over your thigh.
No, I mean, Ed did a really... Ed Bianchi, who directed this episode, I think did a really great job.
Yeah.
When I'd intended to replenish the kindling.
Yeah, that they feel.
You see everything and you see nothing. It's
right. That's right. Tantalizing.
And also, we wanted to show. I wanted to show everyone. My underarm.
Yeah, I know you were anxious.
Yeah, well, I've been working on it for a couple of years.
It's a good project.
So often with you.
Because women didn't shave back then, yeah. So.
No, they
know.
Didn't.
Gonna start the shipment loading?
That keep them in is probably the only moment of happiness that
yes,
Alma
please.
Ever gets in her entire life. Now I believe in you. Mm-hmm.
They're so safe.
Yeah.
With each other in this moment. And then the world comes and intrudes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does Bullock think if I want.
Which is good. I mean, it's not a place for them to stay because, in the end, it's actually.
Maybe it's just precautions against.
It is a kind of.
Precautions of his protect her, them other operators.
It is a kind of unwillingness to deal with the world on both their parts, you know.
Oh, hiding from what they
have to be.
They have to do and be.
Horror is your fucking right. He don't know if it's breathing or taking it.
Earl Brown is such a good actor, and he's just. I'm always so amazed by watching his work.
And also, like you say, because there's lots of people I haven't done scenes with, and I remember having a moment with Earl in a scene last season, and he met my eyes, and it was so electric.
Yeah, no, he's really, really great.
No, there's himself.
Leon.
I love Leon. He is so funny and fun. It's such a generous actor.
Yes, and Dayton Cowley.
America took us in, Bullock could prove a fucking reason.
This is a great line.
Striding out like some randy maniac bishop.
Like some randy maniac bishop.
Yes.
It's so true.
Earlier, huh, Bullock? Might have found you mid-thrust at other business.
Oh, swearing.
Oh, no,
and
you
it
did
starts.
Not.
Taken by a vision? You would not want to be staring like that.
And then,
me.
You know, the other thing is that the music starts at this low underneath it all, and it's unsettling, the timbre of it.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, uh-oh.
Ain't going no place.
This is,
it's coming.
Yeah, this is not good.
It's true. It's great.
Yeah, what a face.
Look, and look, he just goes, what have I done?
Yeah. Oh, they know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now onward.
I'll go get my big gun.
That ain't how this one's gonna
resolve.
I'll go get
my big gun.
Doing this commentary is sort of just like maybe what it would be like to come over to mine and Anna's house on Sunday night and watch HBO. I mean, I don't. This is why I don't watch the show with people because I just talk the whole time.
You
want to ruin it for them.
I know, my husband keeps telling me.
I know, be quiet.
Bring a fucking pole down between his ears.
Yeah.
And then, what is that? A little foreshadowing.
Little pain.
A little.
Now this is
no
just a funny
did I
scene.
Wish that man harm or take against him. You did shoot him. Huh? Only on account of the jacket.
And I love that Bullock really wants to go back and just have a big, huge fight, but he's got to come in and take care of business with her.
Keep this short.
Well, Harry shouts for Slippery to stop, but Slippery cast his Johnson toward Harry and pisses at him over the bar.
I pulled my gun, Sheriff. I told Slippery, get out. You ruled off for the day. You darkened that door.
He has a lot of forces pulling on him. Mm-hmm. A lot of feelings of responsibilities to various.
Mm-hmm. And his nature is this confliction of violence and morality. Mm-hmm. And he's just sort of constantly.
Constantly wrestling.
Filthy piss spray and beast.
Get up off your knees.
Oh, my God.
Get up and tell your partner.
My part sheriff was putting Bummer in my jacket and sending the poor fuck in here.
To what purpose?
Thinking maybe if Harry Wing won at Bummer, mistaking him for me, threatened to murder. It'd be funny.
But also that he is the lawman in this lawless place.
Yeah.
You didn't kill who you meant to.
And here he has to make it up.
Yeah.
Mean to kill the man you did.
Huh? Now, wait a
Worse in some way?
Box him and see he's buried. But I'm telling both of you. Watch it.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Tough guy.
Very tough.
Yeah, I retrieve my
Anna and I are allowed to make fun of Tim, though.
We are. We feel.
We feel that we're allowed.
Fuck it, joke. You'll understand.
Seeing as Tim makes fun of us. All day long.
Absolutely.
No provocation whatsoever.
Ah, there's the Casper door. And there's that music again.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. As he goes back to take care of it.
Got his cappers at his flanks.
Private. Thank you, Charlie.
Soap with a prize inside. You got any prizes in that meat there, Captain?
This
Brent,
this is what, you know, the look at the screen right now. Look at all the stuff that's going on. And the
legitimate merchants.
All these stores, all these storefronts, all these people. It's just...
And these, I mean, it has to be said, I mean, we have about 100 men and a few women who are extras on the show, who are there every day, who are really good actors and have created dynamics and characters and relationships for themselves, who, you know, there are guys who work as extras on the show who have decided that this is their store and they are this guy, and they, you know, you walk by them on the street and they are acting out these dynamics, and it's amazing, and it really makes the show so good.
Where do you feel it, honey?
Bottom of your balls.
Love that. He asks her where she feels it. She says,
know.
The bottom of your balls.
I know.
Oh. A wee fart.
Air's gone a little fixed.
I guess we never fixed it.
Excuse me.
They are over this journey. They have been in the stagecoach for
so long. Can you imagine traveling like that?
The irony of this is that 2 weeks before I started filming this episode, I was thrown from a horse.
No, really?
I was. And I fractured my sacrum.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I thought that was ironic, given that I was going to work in a Western.
Oh, my God, Anna.
And so we were in the stagecoach and bouncing. Oh, this is the best.
Cocksuckers!
Speaking of alcoholics.
Yes, well, yes. And so when we were in that coach, I just was thinking, this is probably just a taste of the discomfort, though, that they felt having to ride in that.
Well, and that, we can't even imagine. And you and I imagine more than most, because we were in those bloody corsets all day at work, and it's so hot. When we shot this episode, it was August. It was... There's a scene coming up at the hardware store, the scene with us, that it was 106 in the shade that day, and I lost 5 pounds just sweating.
Yeah, we get to the point where you start to shake, and you start to feel like you're seeing spots in front of your eyes, and it's
wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, it brings, but this is the beauty of working on this show, is that everything is there for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know, as an actor, sometimes you have to spend so much energy and time
creating
things that aren't there.
Yeah.
But it's all
there. That's really true.
Mr. Star might make your way to the gym.
When we drove into town on that stagecoach and I looked out the window and it was my first shot, my first thing that I did in Deadwood, I looked around and I thought, it's all here.
Right.
Everything that I need. I just looked at the windows, and now you said those wonderful extras tipping their hats and saying, morning, ma'am.
Yeah.
Your boss should do like me, learn to look the other way.
No, it's very full. Maria
Kesa.
Our production designer is amazing. And she's just the best. And Janie Bryant, the costume designer. These guys just have created this world.
Tell me one thing first, Bullock, and understand who these people are individually.
Yeah.
And gives you
character.
Yes.
Fucking hard rock concern and 5-stamp mill. Crushing gold out of her quartz all day and fucking night.
Crushing gold out of her quartz.
With the camp, furnish others here a chance to develop what they got to... Hang on, or even
this stuff, you know, that's going on down here as these guys have this scene is really edited very well. You It's particularly in the first season, you had these sort of lines that were getting drawn, these sort of lines between people of this web of a community that exists or started to be created. And by now, by the second season, the lines are he's so funny, but more fixedly drawn. And you see, you know, you see Trixie is like on both sides and going back and forth. Yes. And there's these
without more insults. We're getting
ass fucked. And you wonder here, who's she looking?
There's a conversation going on. Coming from the hills. How do you have who's she looking for?
From the governor himself and a pricey. And you wonder who she's keeping an eye out for.
Yeah.
For
one of makers a trough for Yankton snouts and them hoopleheads out there. They need buttressing against going over to those. Hooplehead has become like part. Have you noticed that people use this now? Like part of. David made this up. I swear it's part of his.
He did, didn't he?
It is. It's. He made that up, and people use it all the time. I love it.
Shut up, you son of a bitch.
That is the one line that lets us know that 7 months has gone by, and that's that's it.
The world abounds in cunt of every kind, including hers.
Well, that's not going to go over well.
That's just not, no. All right. Now you've done it.
Of course.
But I'm taking off my pants. That's right. That's
right. Well, please, sir. Please keep your pants on.
Oh, it's just her. Oh, it's you.
Well, I find you've got a knife.
I won't need no fucking knife.
Oh. Dirty headbutt right off the top.
But the way he builds this entire sequence up to this.
Yeah.
As the coach is coming in, you are making love. Mm-hmm. This is going on with the letter from... With the government business.
Yeah.
And all of this comes together in this.
And they're over the balcony right away. Oh. And into the mud.
That can't have felt good. And here comes the coach.
It's great. It's a great beginning.
It's just a wonderful sequence.
As you can tell, and I like the show we work on.
We're fond of it, rather fond.
They went over the fucking balcony.
And what's crazy about seeing it is when you're shooting these scenes that involve so many people and on the street and so many extras, it takes days for one thing, and they're all, you know, they're just all pieces that end up going together.
You looking to die, cocksucker?
When I'm looking out that window, there's nobody there.
Right.
I'm seeing, you know?
Right.
So they're all these separate...
Damn you! Hey, don't come
separate things.
Jesus Christ.
Poor Johnny Burns. Never shot anybody.
Didn't want to be doing that. Here comes the newspaperman.
Fuck me.
I do have a knife. It come to me now.
He sees the boy.
Yeah.
Innocence.
And look at that little
sees
smile.
Himself, what a sweetheart.
Welcome to fucking Deadwood! Can be combated.
And that was an improvised. That was one of those David Milch, you know, last minute things he said, say welcome to Deadwood. Welcome to fucking Deadwood. It can be combated.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, wow. It's a great. It's
just great.
Yeah.
Puts a perfect sort of capper on it.
Yeah.
And I remember shooting that sequence and covering up the boy's eyes and looking out the window and. And
wave a penny under the Jews.
We did it over and over and over. And
they got living breath in
and I felt so terrified with my own terror starting out. And then the terror of what I would think you would feel seeing this. And I remember David saying, she has seen so much that she is not necessarily.
Mr. Black?
This is not necessarily a horror.
Right.
It's.
Right, I mean, this woman has already lived through seeing her husband
killed. He was in the cavalry. She was an army wife, so she saw violence and aggression. And
wonderful how folks.
And she's sophisticated when it comes to human behavior. She understands. So she, the survival instinct, which is to keep it, okay, I'm going to keep myself under control. I'm going to hold on.
Not be hysterical.
Yeah, I'm not going to cry and scream and run away.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Bull.
Hello, William. I'm all right.
and that I'd we call grateful. Him Mr. Bullock is mm-hmm. such a Victorian thing.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me, I remember, why do you, have you never met him? Why are you calling him Mr. Bullock? And I
They,
I
she would.
Quite common.
She would. Yeah.
She didn't. They were strangers,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah.
Had met twice, probably.
Right.
Certainly hadn't consummated their marriage.
Yeah.
Better let me hold Maddie's chair, Joni.
Alice Krieg.
I need to make a
She's so beautiful,
impression.
Alice.
So beautiful. Lady. My lord. And really graceful.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Lack of notice is my only regret.
Yeah, I think there's something. There's such a relief, you know, that the year before, there's this sort of impending idea that Bullock's wife is going to show up, and who will she be? And it's so to David's credit that he created. He brings this woman who is every much almost equal intellectually, although they.
Secured that bill
should be right. able to be friends
right.
and yet can't be
right.
at least yeah. not yet but
got the building in November
but yeah that she has this understanding of life
of the
and,
way, yes.
and the way things are and
yes.
and it's really accepting
since I was 14
I've been giving Johnny Jones for her fuck money since she was 14 years of age.
This episode is called A Lie Agreed Upon
mm-hmm.
and there are these lies we have to agree upon and live with in order to get through.
That's right. And everybody agrees upon
Everybody agrees.
Should we talk in private, Si?
Would that be rude?
Not at all.
I mean,
that's right. It's
relationship between me and Joni, just
the upcoming scene that's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. In the hardware store.
Yes.
Yeah,
for
the
those
basket.
Two women. Yeah.
If you like.
Sure. Eat
whatever
well,
they
we'll
give you
we'll
is my way of saying welcome.
Any blind ones out there?
Sure, and this, I mean, here are yeah. these women, you know, everyone knows
Jesus
what's happened.
Christ.
Right.
That,
tired, Al.
Does it? Ask it if he wants
that this is a betrayal of Si
yes.
in some way, and yet it can't be said that it is, and so.
Adams.
Restrained you, didn't he?
But Alice Craig's character, Maddie, is
mm-hmm.
so cunning,
mm-hmm.
so smart in the way she handles him.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't get defensive. She
right.
doesn't get...
She's funny.
Yeah, she's
clever.
Funny and clever and gentle.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what hit him.
Right. Well, that's... I mean, those were the only cards you had as a woman.
That's right.
Bullock ain't even a Val's flock.
Al's gonna be calling numbers to the phone now that he can't trust like us. Some he don't even like.
Do you find you forget sometimes the sensibility of,
mm-hmm.
of the 1870s? That sometimes I think to myself, well, why is
right.
Martha doing such and such? And
yeah.
then I think to myself, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, you can't think in terms of...
I find it really tricky because on the one hand, these were not the sort of pre-liberation
mm-hmm.
and these Victorian women certainly had to live within a certain kind of context, but it's also tricky to not sort of impose an idea of what that would have been. I mean, I'm reading right now this diary of Alice James, Henry James's sister,
oh, right.
who is exactly the same age as Alma. And I mean, it's her life, her brain is so big and her appetite is so big, and her desire and her intelligence
mm-hmm.
and her sense of humor
mm-hmm.
that
you know where
I think it's easy because these women weren't allowed necessarily to express that in the world,
mm-hmm.
it's easy to forget that it existed in them, but it for sure existed.
Right.
So I find this hard balance of
I don't work here no more,
of how to play a woman at this time. And sometimes I just get so sad for these women.
Oh,
I just...
Too.
Breaks my heart how difficult it was to be a woman at this time.
Yeah.
We can't even imagine.
No.
It was so bloody hard.
And to, as you say, to have a brain that big, to have intelligence,
and to have no
aspirations.
Voice.
Yeah, and to have no voice.
With that beautiful smile.
And to be wearing physically a little cage around you
yeah,
all day long.
That reminds you every second that you're not allowed to scream or rage or be hysterical,
right.
because if you do, you'll faint.
That's right.
And then
you.
You'll be out of the picture. So
mm-hmm.
it's
Shelby.
Amazing.
I'll take the air well,
and
Betty.
That it takes physical, it takes your physical strength away. It takes how that affects you psychologically.
Sure, when you're already considered the physically weaker sex, mm-hmm. and so then have to wear these costumes on top of it, which reinforce that idea mm-hmm. and dictate to you exactly how you get to be in the world, which is, you know, be still and quiet and...
Tell Wu.
And how these women fight against that. I mean, how they all find their ways to live anyway, find their ways to express themselves.
Thank you, ma'am.
Look at that face. He's a wonderful boy. He's very, very smart, this one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all right, William.
Where are your gun and badge, Mr. Bulk?
So honest. Mm-hmm.
It was personal between me and the man I fought. So but I
think about all the women, about Alma, about Martha, about the women who ventured out west.
Mm-hmm. Do you arrest them now for the night?
They had to have
for Mr. Bullock, William.
Something in them that was very, very brave and very adventurous and said, I know I'm going out to a place where there's no law. I know I'm going out to a place where danger is everywhere in ways mm-hmm. that I can't even imagine, but mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go.
Don't mm-hmm. doubt. I'll have back my gun and badge.
See, and David, I remember mm-hmm. the sequence that there's the operation going on, that Farnham's clearing his throat, trying to let everyone know he's leaving,
mm-hmm.
and that Merrick has a back spasm, and that he's having some back pain.
Right, so. I know, it's there's
so much going on.
Yeah. Oh. Face. Jerry Jewel.
I found these seeing to your piss pot, and I know they ain't yours.
What tipped you off? The fucking badge? Put them down.
She's so saucy.
She is a character.
Fucking hilarity.
What?
A piss pot.
What?
No. I made water off the balcony this morning. If it's any of your fucking business, I get away from me. Not you, Weepy. Get the fuck back here.
I just love that Ian found this role, and it's this role like found Ian.
Yeah, how about that fucking duck, huh? Seen to the respectable types, leaving us the ones that pay him regular, huh? So.
And now he's wondering, now what?
Mm-hmm.
His wife and son.
How was Mr. Starr? How was Charlie Utter?
Shut up, Johnny! Detail Bullock's condition.
The worst for wear. No clarity.
Those three really are like his sons.
I know.
Adams, Burns, and Doherty.
Yeah.
I'll put your nose through your
And Farnham
brain.
Is kind of, what, the steps?
he's like the dog. that he kicks whenever he has a chance.
He was talking to an 8-year-old.
Sound like he'd be coming back for more?
I'd hate to guess.
Billy Sanderson said one day to me, for every 30 people who hate me in this business, there's another 50 who don't know me. The king of these fantastic non-sequiturs.
He is.
Anyway, I would like you to have this rose. I'll look into the new whores.
Yeah, he's just drinking like a fish.
Yeah.
And he, you know, this is the beginning of a number of episodes in which Swearengen becomes completely incapacitated, and you think, and all these people have to kind of rise up and take care of stuff as best they can in the absence of their patriarch.
That's right.
But more and more I start to think of his Han Solo.
Really?
A little bit.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I ain't your enemy. Whatever you thought your intentions was, coming on me like you did.
See, the brothers here.
Yeah.
The last fucking move you ever make.
Bullock will be coming back for his weapon.
To what intent?
Part of the production design I love in the show is these, everywhere there's these pile of antlers.
Mm-hmm.
You can sort of see behind Swearengen there. Mm-hmm. There's this piles of bones, just piles of antlers.
Mm. Cow-eyed kid looking from that coach, that's what fucking unmanned me. Mm.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's bones, and then there's heaps of skins.
Heaps of skins, yeah. And bones. It's just...
Just today, I'd asked Mr. Bullock after his family, and he made no mention of their being en route.
We had extending the hand of welcome. We had a dress, a green dress, for this episode that Janie had designed. It was incredibly beautiful. We ended up using it later in the season, but for some reason, David didn't want it for the beginning, and so at the last minute, Janie found this dress, which is an original. And it's wool. And it's nice. Red. And I'm... Mr. Bullock's condition in his presence. It's great. It's so scarlet letter.
It
you
is.
Know?
It's
so,
the first thing I thought of when I saw you. I thought, oh, God. Hester Prynne.
Yeah.
As I live and breathe.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
You put a ribbon around your candy.
And sweet Bree.
did you want me to give it to that boy?
Please answer in words, Sophia.
Yes, please.
Sarah Paulson, who plays Miss Isringhausen, is just a fantastic actress. She left us and went to do the Glass Menagerie on Broadway this year, which I hear she was spectacular. Mm.
Then Mr. Ellsworth and I will make the delivery.
I love the dynamic between the two of you, between Isringhausen and all.
Yeah, we had some great scenes that year, this season. It was really fun.
Because it seems like you sense from the beginning that there's something...
There's something wrong with her.
Yeah.
I stop believing I can dictate the terms of my opportunities.
Well, some would say...
And I love that Alma puts this basket together and says, I'm going to go out.
Some being the butt-in, loudmouth.
I need to go and see, or...
Sure, I mean, I think she has to go and... As much as she has to go and see if he's all right, she has to go and look at his wife. She has to go. She's just compelled, and the basket is the lie that's agreed upon that gets handed off, you know?
That's right. And there's Merrick holding my bonnet.
Yeah. Which...
Mr. Bullock. Mrs. Garrett.
Oops.
I think, huh.
This scene could also be called a bad idea.
Mrs. Garrett. Turns out.
Okay, Trixie's just like, what are you doing here?
But it's everybody in the room knowing and thinking, oh boy, what do we say?
May I introduce my wife, Martha, and our son, William. Mrs. Alma Garrett.
How do you do? How do you do? How do you do, William?
How you do?
And Ellsworth, who superintends Mrs. Garrett's claim.
Yeah. It's great. David blocked this scene, and he just put me in the middle, and everyone around.
Mm-hmm.
You've discovered us in distressing circumstances.
Just staring at her, you know.
That's right.
What are you doing here?
I'm joining Mr. Bullock.
And to have had a place in this town, and to suddenly have no place.
Yeah. Yes.
I hope this can...
There and she tries to claim it. You've discovered us in distressing circumstances, but she's no longer of us. She's on the outside now.
My ward includes sweets for your son. When his mother decides he may have them.
And Martha's wondering, now what is exactly going on here? What? Never heard of this woman.
Yeah.
Huh.
Thank you.
But this, you know, I mean, what was wonderful to do in this scene is that it...
You recall Mrs. Garrett from...
Illustrates the reality of the situation, which was an impossible situation for everyone.
Everyone.
Yes.
And Martha is smart enough to see it and take it for what it is.
But she, right in that moment, knows, oh, I see.
Right.
And it's not fantastic news, but it's also...
Right.
She doesn't even know him.
I don't know him.
And we've not consummated our relationship, and I've been across the country, and there's a sense of...
Well, and you loved his brother.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope I see see you soon, man.
And no one gets what they want.
Yeah. And don't be pestering me for the good fishing spots. I name them only over breakfast.
And no one can come to you. You were in the middle of the room, and nobody could come to your rescue.
No.
That was the other thing.
And he can't. I mean, mostly he can't. Yeah. He can't do anything.
Mrs. Bullock,
it's not that he couldn't do anything. It's that that character can't do anything. It's
in hearing about your journey and perhaps your first impressions of our camp. You don't have to give.
He carries more guilt and shame than he needs to Mr. Star. Through his whole life. I mean, it's his big.
Go ahead, William.
Where everyone else forgives him, but he never forgives himself.
Right. You know? His sense of obligation or duty or what he needs to do to be responsible.
Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting character to me because you meet people like this who, for whatever reason, draw their own lines, mm-hmm. have a moral reality that is drawn so tightly, mm-hmm. and if you cross it, you know immediately, but you're not sure mm-hmm. how you crossed it, or it's regimented in a way that is beyond what's necessary.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
You'll recall what I wrote about her husband. How he'd sought his money back on a claim.
And now he's trying so hard to convince her that, do you remember? I wrote you.
Or just to lay out, here's the lie.
Yeah.
Here's the lie, and can you...
Is that the house, sir?
Can you take it?
Yeah.
It is.
And he's carrying the lie.
Because there's no other way to say it.
No.
Just a little piece.
I love that line. Just a little piece.
And with my promise to help the widow as I could... made to well, Bill Hickok.
Yes, Mr. Bullock.
I just remember thinking that there's this town, this whole town, this incredible place, mm-hmm. and there's this man mm-hmm. who I don't know, and there's this relationship that's just been introduced, mm-hmm. and then I'm coming up to this house that he built. It's a lot.
Yeah. And I kept imagining that I, you know, through the whole winter that I... He and I are having this affair. Mm. He leaves my bed every day and goes and builds this house. And I can hear him build. You know, you could see it. If you looked out her window, you could see this house. He built it right at the end of the street. Right. And it's, man, it's pretty hard to take.
Let me toast a bold new venture. Your place got a name yet, honey?
The Chez Ami.
That's catchy.
The Chez Ami.
Open your yaps. Stick out your tongue. To the Chez Ami. And to
her, Kim's desire to, Joni's desire to get out from under him is so palpable and so painful.
Yeah.
Doris, one of the Bella's
and best. He's so pissed because he's not in control.
Yeah.
Just your friendship.
We have the girls we need.
Bon voyage, sweetheart, as long as we're speaking French.
We got all the girls we need, Si.
I mean, this scene is Tolliver embodies this misogynism in this show, and racism comes later with his dealings with the Chinese.
Yes.
And they're the same thing.
Eddie, but the Chez Ami on his feet, I consider.
And he says it later in the scene.
Have my interest looked at 60 cents.
You never trust a woman until you see maggots in their eyes, and it's
terrified.
All right.
That's right, and you think, oh,
this girl's out
Freud would have had a heyday with him.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's what's interesting about this character. It's not just that he's completely vile. He's so weak, you know.
What do you think, I'm a monkey in a zoo? Think I'm gonna throw my shit after you?
No.
Don't fucking talk to me like I'm a monkey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get those cunts out of here! Don't believe there's no good women. Did you see one with maggots in her eyes?
I mean...
Yeah.
Joni! Let the wheel for you leave. You're on a lucky run.
It's very good, Powers.
Very good.
It's a really hard part. It's a really, really difficult part to play. And I think he gives it a lot
of... Is there fish in this tree?
...consideration and goes really far. And it's absolutely what's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, and he, and, And that kind of misogynism is true of a lot of men at this time, and some men now. And he's sort of like expresses the majority of it.
Yeah.
At the very top of my trunk.
That has all my thoughts.
Can't come in.
Cannot put set foot in that house.
I should go back now.
I find that the thought of a marriage between two people who don't know each other fascinating.
Yeah.
Come on, Mr. Bullock.
Not just now, William.
Don't you want to come in?
I can't come in just now.
And I think that Martha's looking at him, and her heart's breaking for him, because she knows, she understands, and she feels, I think, sorry for being part of what is making
him unhappy.
Yes, and making him so, and distressing him so much.
Yeah.
But at the same time, her heart is breaking for that boy.
Yeah.
Because that's the primary reason she married him.
Thank you.
She wanted a father for that boy, and that's why she says thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, and thank you for this beautiful house.
Yeah.
Dear Mrs. Bullock.
So that's what I love, the contradictions of those things that David puts in there. That you can look at that, she can look at Seth and think, my God, he's a mess.
Right.
But at the same time, he stepped up to the plate.
Right.
He built me this house. He's a good man.
Yeah.
And that's why I think she took the gamble and said, oh, okay.
Sure.
The other framing timber is of spruce.
Sure, and it's why Alma loves him too.
That's
so it's doubled the beams. And he's the only one who doesn't know he's a good man, because everyone else knows it.
I think you may laugh to see the
And he believes that he's
with the view of the camp from out the parlor.
It's what I think David has said a number of times, that Bullock's father was incredibly hard on him.
In the army, right?
Right.
And violent and
Regimented and
abusive.
Yeah.
So he can't believe in his
right.
And the fact that you earlier say, I believe in you, is so lovely.
I pray that in my brother's stead, I may be permitted to be a father to the boy, as good as Robert would have been.
Oh, Art.
And as to your care and comfort and safety, as good a husband to you.
Because his intentions are so good. But the complications of it all. It's a beautiful last shot.
Nice.
Very nice.
That went by fast. I'm surprised it's over.
I know. Alice Creed, there they all are.
All right.
That was fantastic.
That was fun. I'll see you at work, Anna.
See you at work, Mom.
Feel like my soul has turned into steam. I've still got the scars that the sun didn't heal. There's not even room enough to be anywhere. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there.